Hello and welcome to Scoppy Radio. My name is Daniel Johansson.
And I'm Maureen Smith.
And we are joined again with Joshua Louise Smith and Tyler Lee.
Hello.
For our, we're going to do our segment, our questionable internet opinion segment. But first, I wanted to talk about our trip in Milwaukee. Did you guys have a good time?
Oh, such a good time.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Well, we knew that we wanted to, so we have a recurring D&D segment every week that we play with Tyler, who's our DM, and we knew that we wanted to go up to Milwaukee to kind of expand what we're doing with Scoppy Radio, and so to make it work, we were like, all right, you guys, come with us. We'll figure out time to play games, and then but we're also going to do two interviews. So, like, you guys didn't really know. I don't remember when I texted you, maybe it was last Sunday before, like, we do Sunday dinner.
Yeah, it was Sunday.
Yeah, and yeah, so I was really glad that you guys were so willing to come and help, especially because you guys ended up really being, like, roadies.
We're roadies yeah, now.
Which was really fun.
Paycheck is a paycheck.
Well, yeah, and I it made going and doing the out-of-town trip without a budget very easy.
Right.
Yeah, and so I guess that's one of the things that, before we get into our QIO, I wanted to, like, kind of open up the floor to our listenership to occasionally, if you hear this episode later or anything like that, feel free to write in about what you think about that, about our last couple episodes. Well, this one will come out after Brittany.
Basically, what we want to know is, did you enjoy hearing the perspectives of people not living in Chicago?
Mm-hmm.
And if so, you know, what did you enjoy about that? What would you like to hear going forward for future trips? Like, do you want us to delve into more in depth into a particular city? Like, mm-hmm. do you want, like, you know, spend a couple months, you know, with the occasional Milwaukee trip, or do you want us to kind of spread our wings and, like, check out Minneapolis, check right. out Des Moines, Ooh. Check out, you know, Indianapolis,
right.
you know, stuff like that. So, if you want to give us a shout on our Facebook page, mm-hmm. at Scoppy Magazine, or you can shoot us an email, scoppymag@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
We would love to hear your opinions because, you know, we're not doing this for us, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that was pretty much all that I wanted. I had a blast. I had an amazing time. I think that, you know, the Jelena interview especially was one of our best interviews so far. Yeah.
Well, and also Joe was so much fun.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, and he's done so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, I think that, you know, what you get with the Milwaukee artist is a variety of skills, just mm-hmm. like by virtue of the fact that you kind of have to have a variety of skills, but it makes for good conversations.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I also loved that we, and this is a format I'd like to use in the future if we ever did something like this again, that we opened up with someone that works a ton in the town as a performer, and then we also got to have the, like, administrator productive end, and I think you kind of get both sides that way, which I think, you know,
That ended up working out really well. It was not intentional. No. Like, that format was not intentional. No. It's just, we were like, maybe we should talk to Joe, and, like, wouldn't it be cool if we talked to Jelena?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. And it made, the whole trip made me tired. I know that this morning I, like, went off on a weird tangent about climate change.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's okay.
No, and I don't know. I'm bringing it back up now.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah. I don't know.
It definitely took a lot out of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, it was worth it, I think. We had good chats.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
Good chats.
So, yeah, so we have Josh here.
Yes.
And there is a reason for that.
God, that's menacing. No. Well, you know, it's really interesting because I was, like, oh God, so creatively inspired after our less than 24 hours in Milwaukee talking to Joe and talking to Jelena, because I think that there is making art in a smaller, I don't want to say town. Milwaukee is definitely a city, yeah. But I have been bouncing from city to city to city in my life. I've been from New York to Boston to New York to Boston to Chicago. And the art that you're generally exposed to is on a large, large, large scale. Mm-hmm. I mean, more or less, you know, of course there's smaller art there, you know, there is in every city, and we'll talk about that too. Mm-hmm. But here are people who have, it's hard. They have challenges. I think there's probably more financial challenges in a smaller town creating art, but they also have more artistic freedom. Mm. And that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. And I'm sure isn't the case in a lot of small towns. And I think that has a lot to do with, well, we talked about it, the Milwaukee spirit, but I think it has a lot to do with Jelena. And, it made me realize, well, in conjunction with I've been frustrated, I'm a frustrated singer. Mm-hmm. And I've been, you know, of course, every day read audition listings for local small companies as well as regional small companies. And a lot of times I tend to feel like they're doing something but kind of beyond their reach, first of all, both budget-wise and mostly budget-wise, yeah. And theater-wise, space-wise, and also doing things that every other person is doing, by the way. And that's, yeah. Of course, not true for many companies, mm-hmm. But is true for most young artist programs I see, mm-hmm. I would say. And I realize that people really have a problem with figuring out what the kind of art is right for them. I hate to say that because yeah. There's no art that's right for them. So
Sorry. Go. Even Jelena was saying that the songs from The Uproar, although something they were capable of doing was a little bit of a stretch.
Yeah.
And I think that that's interesting where, you know, she lives in trying to push boundaries. And so recognizing someone being able to say like, oh, I'm very aware of what we're capable of, what may be more difficult is, I think, an interesting...
I feel like I'm beating around the bush a little bit. No. So let me just, I'll give you my stump speech on this. My little intro is every city I go to, I met with, oh my God, you're a tenor? We have no tenors. We need tenors. And I'm always like, oh, that's awesome. And then I, of course, find out that's absolutely not true because all of my friends are tenors. I'm so surrounded by them and they're good. They're talented people too. So I'm always like, what do you mean you don't have any tenors? And that's when I realized they all want someone who could sing Radames, because why are you doing Aida? They all want someone doing who can do Pinkerton and do these ridiculous things. And first of all, the men at this level, at the level of pay, at the level of commitment that you're able to have at your smaller company, the guys who can really sing those roles are A, older, mm-hmm. B, if they're still like active and doing it, they're being paid a lot more than you can afford. Mm-hmm.
Because I was gonna say is the thing that's very interesting to me about that is when you look at the what people are trying to do, they're always these kind of standard things that were really, you know, interesting at the time they were written. And of course I'm not sitting here railing against the idea of restaging something that was conceived a while ago. But a lot of times they were written with someone specifically in mind.
Yes.
You know, where you have you know, Puccini is a good example of someone who creates that tenorial thing that everybody wants to do Puccini.
Everyone wants to do it.
Puccini worked with, or at least had in mind, people for every role, you know, like, and like half of the time that was Caruso. So if you're going to and so like, if you're going to go like, oh man, we really need
Caruso.
Don't we all?
Most late 20s, early 30s tenors are not going to sound like that.
Right, no.
But there are things, and this leads me to the next point, there are things that they can do really, really, really well. And I always use L'Elysée de More as an example just mm-hmm. because I've sung Nemorino. But I'm always like, I'm friends with like 15 guys here who could probably do it like a world-class Nemorino. Not just like a student production, like, but like really good. But instead you, for some reason, want to do like a student budgety Eugene Onegin and leave that to the Met, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Because it's not like there's a shortage of houses doing these operas right. either. So does your small company really need to do Pagliacci? I feel like it doesn't. I feel like it just doesn't. And it'll be fine.
Yeah.
But why do something fine when you could do something artistically mm-hmm. satisfying? And of course, I'm not here to judge what's art and what's not art, but
I mean, like, but I feel like we are here to comment on people who don't have the resources to pull off shows that require high yeah. production value and also mature yes. voices.
Yes.
I'm sure that if you approached the composer of, you know, Pagliacci, and you said, mm-hmm. you know, okay, here's what we've got to work with. Here are the singers we have. They would go, okay.
Okay.
Like, that'll be a thing. Like, you know, why, you know, why not do something that you're going to do well?
And that, it gets me. And it gets me at a local level. And of course, if you're familiar with the singing, listening to us, you'll know about the Young Artist Program circuit. But basically, instead of in theater where you go and do summer stock and get paid for it, we go and work our asses off and typically pay to do it, at least at a younger level. And it's a complete nightmare. Yeah. And the whole thing is awful, but you kind of have to do it. I mean, you don't. No. If you're listening and you haven't done it, keep not doing it. but they do the same thing because they typically are just worrying. God, they're worrying more about money than art,
mm-hmm.
which is fine because we all have to put food on the table. Mm-hmm. But they all want to do things that are known, you know.
Right.
There was 1 year, it was like 2 years ago that I saw like 10 companies doing Butterfly, and it was the most insane thing in the world because mm-hmm. even the Met has a hard time finding a good person to sing Butterfly. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And the young people that are paying to sing don't have voices mature enough to do that. Mm. And then they'll end up like covering one of the like Compromario roles, and just not a satisfying experience for anyone. And sure, Sue from Des Moines got to see Butterfly, but mm-hmm. what cost?
I feel like there's a thing that happens, and I feel like this has happened with a couple people I've talked with that are yeah. like, I can't think of specific people right now,
yeah,
but
yeah.
I know I've had this conversation before where I was talking to someone that produces, and they don't just produce at a level of like people that I'm worried about listening to this episode. They produce mm-hmm. at a level of like they worked at the Lyric once or something like that. And it annoyed me that the idea of using young singers was a novel idea, and that using the idea of using young singers as a benefit to your budget, because a lot of times those kinds of productions are not budget intensive. They're not production mm-hmm. intensive. The things that work well for young voices. And I remember I was talking to someone, again, I don't remember. And but they were saying it was like a, like I was saying, like it was this like, oh, I don't believe I thought of this. And it's like, no shit. Like, what do you, that's what everyone around you is trying to say. What every yeah. young artist is genuinely trying to say is that you can do these things in a way that isn't what the Met's trying to do.
Yes.
And I mean, sure, that should exist. And should it exist on a B or C house level? Absolutely.
Oh, I'm not saying anything absolutely. Against those houses, because those need to exist because people do want to see that opera,
right.
and that opera should exist and it should continue to exist. And I will see it and I will love it. But that doesn't mean that when you're starting your little company, you have mm-hmm. to do Aida.
Yeah. Anyway,
well, we actually have a second part to this.
Yes, we do.
To this QIO, which is the reason we have Tyler on.
Well, I mean,
other
look
than
at that, look at that put him.
Other than his immeasurable charm, which reads in his silence.
Oh my.
The four of us are deep into the show Steven Universe.
Yes.
We've actually mentioned it on this show
with randomly in the 1 minute playfest. I think
really?
I'm hoping to be notorious at this point for things that have nothing to do with what the person came on and bringing it up and
so
just seeing
we
how
have,
that plays out.
Let's see. We actually have a list of
we have Switchell, climate change, Steven Universe, FDR.
Oh, FDR.
Yeah, we brought up FDR.
Yeah.
We should keep a list.
Yeah.
And So I figured that, and we were met with kind of like, you know, they had the ladies of the 1 minute play festival had never watched it, and
they had watched Adventure Time though.
They had which is a different show. So we're gonna talk. About
you know, I mean,
but lives in the world. Yeah. Same.
It's in the same universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, no.
Well, not literally. Like,
that's not canon. Like, wait,
no. I think it's in the same artistic oof.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. No.
I was like, wait, canonically, that's just not true.
Yeah. No,
and
no,
I was like, nerd.
No.
Well, I think the thing that's very like worth bringing up with Steven Universe is, well, there's a few things, but one is that it's cross medium in a major way. Mm-hmm. I mean, so musical the show.
Oh, yeah.
They're able to do so much, and in a lot of ways they're really pushing the idea of storytelling. Like, there was one plot that was the classic trope of like a talent show, and they were trying to talk one of the characters into singing in the talent show, and it was like Steven and the girl's mom, and but what ends up happening is, and I'm sorry for this, this spoiler has nothing to do with the actual plot of the show, so forgive me if, you know, but...
I mean, if we're... extended spoiler alert, I guess, because well, if I we're going to be talking
about... Yeah, we won't get into anything too deep, but details will be mentioned.
Yeah, nothing main plot, I think, I think fair. Yeah,
they're all self-contained episodes that we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right, especially this one. This one specifically deals with human character.
It's a B story.
It's about bees.
Like a bee
J story.
It's about bees.
It's not about bees.
Well, anyway, but so how it kind of ends is that she ends up not doing it.
Yeah.
She ends up not doing the talent show, which is such a cool thought.
And
of like where that's allowed.
And you get like this double whammy of joy from that episode because it's so great because she realizes this isn't for her and she's like, it's such a gypsy story and you're gonna do it for me! Yeah. You know, it's like, but and she doesn't, which is rad, but then also Steven realizes that he wants to do it and he does it
in drag.
And not and I was battered at him that
and everyone was like, oh Steven,
I'm so glad he's here doing this, and that was it, and there was no commentary other than that, and it was wonderful.
It was just a kid having fun. It was so cool.
Yeah, and like, well, and what it was kind of like hooray introverts, which I think is a message that kids don't really receive. Mm-hmm. Because I think that, you know, most of the characters that they're seeing on TV are like these, you know, all of these people with all of these friends. Yeah, Steven is like the classic character, but like, you know, they see these outgoing beautiful souls who reach out to people, who talk to new people and who make new friends. Mm-hmm. And like, not every kid can do that.
And they're not any less beautiful because of it.
Exactly. And that's the lesson, is like, so Sadie, the girl in the talent show, wasn't able to do it, but it ended up being he was like, well, great, then I'll do it. And she was happy, and her mom was happy, and her mom was like, well, I'm glad that you're doing what makes you happy. Mm-hmm. And it, like, there was no sense of defeat.
Yeah, I think I was sitting in the other room, kind of half listening to the episode up until that point, and then I remembered specifically turning and being like, what? He's doing it? What? And then I kind of, like, thought about it for a minute, and I was like, oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
Like, that's so... Because, and I think this is something that Steven Universe does, they take the thing that you think they're going to do and they put it on its head in a way that's not even necessarily aggressive, but is but makes you think. And in a kid's show, 10-minute episode cartoon that you wouldn't think has this depth. But and that's something we talked about with the 1 minute play festival thing, is that, you know, there are these 10-minute episodes, so it kind of washes over to you at a certain point, but there's these through themes and these like a rich, dense plot. And Adventure Time's the same way, where like that plot is about a post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah.
It's...
That's the implication there, is that we nuked the shit out of the Earth.
Yeah. And there's what season are you on of Adventure Time?
I'm on like 6.
All right, so there's some stuff that... All right, never mind. I have nothing
to
say.
Sorry, no.
I don't want to spoil anything.
Post-recording conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know, Tyler, what do you think? Because I know you are our
resident
TV writer, cartoon writer.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, backstory. Backstory. If any of you have seen the show Dexter's Lab, there is an episode that was written by a kid, a fan, and it was our dear friend Tyler here.
Yep.
Are you going to tell the story or should I?
I have nothing to say, Maureen. Thank you very much.
So.
You may remember the episode where there was a kid, like what you were saying. Yeah. And the line that you would most remember is that you are stupid.
You are stupid. And don't forget,
you are stupid. Tyler Lee.
Tyler Lee. And wasn't it recorded on like a little hand recorder in your bathroom?
Yeah, it was a tape deck. And I locked myself in the bathroom. And, or at least I closed the door. I must not have locked it because my mom's voice is in the episode. Yeah. But yeah, I had watched an episode and I closed the door in the bathroom and I just had stream of consciousness. There's like 10 minutes to that tape that clearly didn't make it to the TV that are just like, I don't even know. I don't even remember.
Yeah.
It was crazy though.
Well, so here's my actual question. We'll segue out of the embarrassing Tyler thing.
I think it's really cool.
Yeah, it's really,
really
cool.
I think
it's
so
cool. Yeah.
Well, anyway, so here's my actual question. What do you think it is about cartoons that make them so easy to communicate different messages and kind of go these distances that we wouldn't think, you know, an art form could?
I think that if you make a show that is on a network that is specifically meant for children, that the messages that you put in your show, they make so many more ripples in that pond because you are speaking to a child who is learning what their values are going to be for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, they change. Yeah, you know, they're learning the first values that they will ever learn. And a lot of people do it. Watching cartoons, I learned a ton of stuff. Like, Hey Arnold was, like, one of my favorite shows of all mm-hmm. time. And the messages there, equally as great as Steven Universe. It has, this show in particular, three women who love women, who are looking after this boy, who you can see through the whole show has been raised to never hate anyone ever because everyone loves each other in that family and everyone, their whole existence is about loving people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he deals with his problems. It's how everyone around him deals with their problems. And it's how the big conflicts in the show really get solved.
Yeah.
Is by people loving people.
It's really a utopian family dynamic. Like, it almost seems unreal when you really think about it.
But they still have they still argue.
Right.
They all have their issues.
Well, yeah, and that's what I love is that these are all complex characters. Yeah. These are all characters that have baggage. These are characters who have suffered loss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
These are characters who have faults.
Yeah.
One of the main characters who, pretty basic Steven Universe information is that there are two races of, like, two species.
There's, yeah, two things that you're mostly dealing with as far as character
types. It's gems, who are, like otherworldly creatures, and humans. And how Steven came to be, he's half human, half gem. A gem fell in love with a man, and she gave up her physical form to form Steven. And so Steven no longer exists. Rose Quartz, his mother, no longer exists.
Base concept of show, extremely deep. Yeah. You're talking about, so already you've got that his mother is gone from birth.
Yeah.
So has a single parent. And like that immediately already makes the show resonate with so many people that have a single parent, you know, and
well and like the fact that her memory is so cherished
mm-hmm.
throughout the entire thing, and like he's brought up with just this, you know, this image of like, you know, like it's there's sadness with her, but then there's also just like everyone just cherishing her memory, which I think is such a good approach to loss. Mm-hmm. Is like you're teaching children like, okay, so yes, this person is gone, but they made such an impact on your life, and especially like Steven literally wouldn't exist were it not for her sacrifice.
Right.
And so it's like every day is like a celebration of her. And that has been so instilled in him. And
well, that was a line that she says to him is like, you know, Steven, I think it was in a memo, that memory thing that she sent back to him, or some kind of tape recorder or something.
Yeah, she made a tape before he was born.
And she said like, Steven, I want you to always remember and look at yourself and love yourself, because I love you so much, and I want when you love yourself. I'm horribly misquoting this.
She said,
"Do you know?" Yeah.
Again, nerd.
No, go for it.
She said, "Whenever you feel happy, whenever you feel love, that's me loving being you and loving you." No. Because when she dies, she becomes him.
Yeah.
So that like, and then kind of mixed with human, but yeah. So she she is her like memory wipe. Mixed with human, and you have Steven.
Yeah.
And like, that's, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. No, and I mean, like, and the thing is, it's like, the central tenets of many of the episodes are like, I want pizza, but the pizza place is closed, or, or like,
yeah.
Or, I have a crush on a girl, and so it's like basic storylines and typical cartoon storylines, but
such complex characters dealing
complex
with
characters, and also a complex history.
Yep.
like the three women, the three gems that raise Steven, are survivors of a intergalactic war.
Right. They were thousands of years old.
They were members. They are the only remaining members of the resistance in the battle protecting Earth. And the only reason they survived was that Rose Quartz had her gem imbued her with the power of a shield, and she was able to shield them from their entire resistance being mm-hmm. wiped out. And so like, that's the backdrop. And then it's like, let's raise a kid.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's Earth, it's shattering. And like, so many episodes leave you just heartbroken. But then like, the next one fills you with so much joy. It's...
Yeah. What I kind of want to hit on with this show, and I mean, and this has been a topic that's well tread when you look up Steven Universe, but is the queer representation in it. Mm-hmm. And it's such a beautifully empowering version of it, because it doesn't discuss it. I mean, like, pretty much in a way that, and I think that there should be queer representation where it does discuss it and it is conscious of it, and I think there should be, especially in like a cartoon that might be aimed at children,
right,
something that doesn't, because I don't think every Absolutely. Queer character has to be loaded with the history of queer
right.
movement. And I do think that part of acceptance is just like not even acknowledging it.
Yeah. Normalizing
but
it.
The other thing too exactly. is that it's not like it's not explicit.
It's explicit.
Extremely explicit.
Because sometimes like, in cartoons it isn't. Clear. Yeah.
Yeah, and not, yeah. I don't know why, never mind. I was gonna, for some reason, like, the word explicit makes it sound like it's, anyway, it's a kid's show.
No, yeah, but
yeah,
it means,
I don't know.
It is not the number one topic of contention in any episode.
No. Right.
No.
Yeah.
The only time that it is brought up is when someone is trying to put it down and they are clearly in the wrong.
But not even about that. It ends up becoming completely behind this metaphor of the concept of, so... Yes. Ooh, that this might be a spoiler.
Yeah, but we won't delve into that.
We're way past that point, I think.
Yeah, well, so okay. So the whole thing, one of the major things, and this is a season one spoiler. So
watch the show.
So fast forward, okay, like 30 seconds. Yes. Right. Okay. So the whole concept of
Fast forward 30 seconds, starting now.
So the thing that's interesting, the metaphor is that gems are capable of fusing. So that's kind of the thing yes. here, where the metaphor is that fusions are less moral than pure gems. And
yes.
that's, I think, an interesting thought. And in that way, I don't think, because besides that, I don't think it's ever brought up the idea of the actual queer characters being less than, you know. I don't know that that's
yeah, the only time that it's really 30 more seconds.
A minute.
Yeah, just like go a minute starting now. So, yeah, the whole idea that, for example, Jasper...
You know what? Let's just say rest of the episode.
Yeah, we'll say rest of the episode. But yeah, in a minute, I'm going to bring that up when someone who just fast-forwarded a minute... It's no problem. All right, anyway.
We're so protective of our audience.
Yeah.
So
the idea, I care.
Yeah, all right. So the idea that when Jasper is like, fusion is a cheap trick that makes weak gems stronger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which you see in like anything with a ruby, just in general. They fuse together to make a big ruby because they're small.
Yeah.
And then Garnet ends up beating the shit out of her.
Yeah.
Because she sings about it. She's right. Like, I'm made of love and love is stronger than whatever you are.
Right.
Because that's, it's what a message to give to a kid who by now has spent a whole year.
The rest of the episode is spoilers.
Yeah, thank you. It's been 30 seconds since the last one. Yeah.
Good.
We're
call.
Just going to make the rest of it.
I got way into that. Anyway, to tell a kid that who's spent now a year with this character Garnet, who's just like, everything is okay, you know, I'm very protective of my family, and like, as long as they're not hurting anybody, they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
And like, you know, she's a great tough mother figure to Steven, and then to have her end up beating this elite, you know, scary shadow that has been going over the whole show, and just beat the crap out of her because she is her protection, you know, like, she is the greater than the sum of her parts, and all gems are female, so like, it's amazing.
I was just gonna touch on that all gems are female, because it kind of it instills kind of like an automatic, like, either asexual or,
right. Well, no better same example sex. Of that is Steven.
Yeah.
Because he's a boy, but he's half gem, and all gems are female. And so even when he dresses in drag, you kind of go, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense.
And just like his we're past spoilers. His fusion with Connie is female.
Yep.
Yeah.
Stevani, yeah.
And, but it's like, and that's not weird. It's never treated as strange.
No. Right. Well, and what's awesome is that when Steven realizes that he's fused with Connie,
yeah,
like in any other cartoon,
they'd be
where,
like, oh,
yeah, exactly,
my breasts.
Or right. Or he'd be like, yeah, really? I'm a girl.
Yeah.
Right.
But he's like, we're great.
Yes.
And they're like, he's like so excited about it, which I think is such a positive message of like it's great to be a girl, and there's so much power in being a girl, because like there are the demigods at the,
yes,
like, oh, yeah, that, you know, the biggest villains, the people pulling all the levers, are these huge powerful women.
Yeah. Played by Patti LuPone.
Played by Patti LuPone.
Which is so important.
Which is so important for me.
Yeah. Like, so good. And you guys, all right. So, the people in this room haven't seen past season 3. There are 4 seasons now, and in one of the more recent ones, there's a great Patti LuPone song.
Yes!
So, yeah. Spoiler alert for you 3 now, I guess. It's great. It's great. But no, I didn't spoil anything.
Cool. I fast-forwarded 30 seconds.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything you said.
That's good. That's good.
All right, well, I think with that, I think we're... good to close out.
Yeah,
I'm gonna but this is gonna lead to a short close out for me, in which I'm going to say, think about representation in art, and when you're making art, and when you're clearly you're going to represent yourself, but when you're picking plays for your small company and operas and stuff, think about it, because as a queer singer, there's nothing for me in opera, in musical theater there is,
yeah,
but I mean, newer operas, you know, as they come out, it's empowering, but it's not there, and it's not represented, and representation matters so much. And if there was half the representation out when I was a kid that there is now,
yeah,
I can't imagine how good I would have felt about myself if I had shows like Steven Universe and things like that
oh, yeah,
validate who you are and that you're not alone. So go out and make some queer art.
Yeah.
And or whatever. I wanted to see more art from every group, and, you
yeah
know,
oh, yeah,
but that's my little,
yeah, shout out to Legend of Korra, by the way.
Yeah.
Just gonna throw that out
yeah.
there.
Yeah, speaking of
Yes. Yeah. No, I know. And that one was powerful. And they're coming out with a comic that more explicitly discusses it.
Very excited.
Great. Well, do you want to do...
Yeah. So, as I do at the end of every episode, I want to emphasize the importance of donations. We are small but mighty, but we are small and poor. So, you know, we would love to, you know, as we said at the top of the episode, we would love to travel to different cities and talk to different people if that's something that you're interested in. But we can't do that without financial help. You know, we've got to put gas in my car. We've got to, you know, buy food. And so if you're able to give, that would be great. You can give a lot. You can give a little. And if you can't give, then just listen and participate and create.
And share the episodes.
And share the episodes. Yeah. What we're actually saying to all of our guests at the end of every episode, like we turn off the microphones and we ask all of our guests to please share, because what we'd love to be is a platform for promotion of art.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, we need to legitimize ourselves as a promotional platform, because mm-hmm. if yeah. we don't have an audience, who are we promoting to? Mm-hmm. So if you're listening, share it, tell your friends, you know, tell your coworkers.
Yeah great. So yeah, we are on scoffymag.com. like Maureen mentioned, there will be an article coming up over the next, well, I think maybe I'll post it on over the weekend. So yeah. We're recording this on
Thursday. It'll go up on Monday.
We're posting this on Monday. Mm-hmm. That's pretty late. Anyway, this is coming out at some point. Anyway, keep an eye out to the website, scoppymag.com. We're also on Facebook under Scoppy Magazine. We are on Instagram at Scoppy Mag. I'm going to be posting to that soon. Twitter at Scoppy Mag. We post all of our episodes on there. So if you get all of your notifications from Twitter, you'll be able to get a reminder that there is a new episode up. We are on iTunes. I don't know where you're listening to us, but if you can head over there, you can subscribe. You can also leave us a review, which helps out a ton. I'm going to steal your tagline for this one. I always say at the end of the episode, go out and make something, but I'm going to say, go out and make queer art.
Yes!